morning and welcome here. And a lot of you may be looking at me and kind of wondering, how did he get up here? Well, this is what happens when you drag your feet and we're trying to plan a part for everyone to do in the sermon. So when you drag your feet, something like this could happen. So let that be a lesson to you all. But this is the first time trying to do anything remotely like that, like this. So bear with me. I'll try making it as smooth as possible. Well, I'm going to start things off with telling you a little story back when I was in elementary school. Back when I was in grade, I think it was 5 or 6, I was told about this family of kids that was at our bus stop, that they didn't know Jesus and that they were into witchcraft, that they had like a pentagram painted on their basement floor. I don't know how true this was, but this is what I was told, and right away came concerned. Growing up knowing Jesus all my life and growing up with the Bible in our home, I took it upon myself to tell one of these kids about Jesus. And I approached him and kind of asked him if he wanted to know Jesus and accept Jesus as a Savior. This is my first attempt ever trying to spread the gospel or even invite someone, Jesus, into someone's life. And he looked at me and said, well, I have to talk it over with my parents. He goes, I'll get back to you tomorrow. So I said, okay, fine. Figured, okay, that can't argue with that, right? So the next day, kind of little after the school was over, we got off the bus and kind of impatiently and excited to see what he would say to me. So I asked him, so did you talk it over with your parents? He goes, yes. And then he looks down at his hand and his paw hesitates for a little while. I kind of look down at his hand to see what he's looking at. There's some scribbles all over his hand. And he goes, what does this mean again? Kind of getting impatient and excited that this could be maybe the first person that I've helped bring to Christ. And he's looking and he goes, oh yeah, this means no. I'm like kind of shocked and feeling a little defeated and depressed because, well, this is the first time and I was hoping for a success story. But as then he goes on to kind of make fun of me and my God, saying stuff like, me and the devil will destroy you and your God, and he went on saying things kind of like that. And being this my first time, young, not really knowing what to do in a situation like this, I looked at him, well, I have a secret that I can't tell you now. He goes, oh, what's the secret? I'm like, well, I can't tell you unless you accept Christ. And he kind of looks at me, goes, okay, I'll become one then. Knowing that he just wanted to know what I wouldn't tell him, I said, no, sorry, it didn't work like that. And I just walked away. What was my secret? Well, it was that accepting Christ and his blood washes away our sins, and through him we have eternal life. Years later, though, how I handled that situation, it started to bug me, kind of feeling like I handled that all wrong. And then, what was it? A couple years back, I found out that him and I believe it was his whole family ended up coming to find Christ years later, and they're going to a buddy of mine's church. So that was a big burden lifted off my shoulders. And So, like the crowd in this story, that's kind of how I felt to this schoolmate of mine. Kind of like the way I handled that, that I was a hindrance, that I was getting in the way of him to know Christ, because I didn't handle it quite right, that I kind of handled it immature. And but there are also people in this story that are a help to the lame man's friends. They were a help. They saw the people and knew they couldn't get through this crowd. It was too thick and congested. Kind of like when we go shopping on Black Friday or Boxing Day, how the mall's all congested and we're trying to get in and get our sale goods and stuff. But picture that in a smaller, more condensed area, trying to get through that crowd. They could have just gone home and said, "We tried." And I don't know if anyone would have blamed them. But it would have been so easy to do. Instead, they looked around to see how they could get their friend to Jesus. So they went to the roof of the house and began cutting a hole in it. So Jesus is giving his message there to the people. Suddenly, debris falls from the roof. Could you imagine hearing the humming of chainsaws or skill saws, some kind of power tool, just cutting up the roof right now? And then all of a sudden, after they got the hole cut, this man is lowered from the roof. Could you picture that? Like, how shocked would a person be? Like, first of all, cutting a hole in the roof and then lowering a man, not just any man, a paralegic, a man that couldn't walk. Back then, people believed that your sins were shown on your outside appearances. So if you're a paralegic, couldn't walk, you must have done something pretty wrong or be a pretty bad sinner to end up that way. Like, just kind of picture what would be going through their minds at that time. Like, what's going on here? What kind of nerve do they have to do this? Cut a hole in someone else's roof and lower a paralegic down in front of Jesus' feet. But the friends made their own path. That, you know, this is the calling of the church, to open or to make paths to Jesus. We cannot be like the crowd blocking the entrance. We have to be like the friends to the cripple, making paths. What's the first thing Jesus says to the cripple? "Friend, your sins are forgiven." You might be saying to yourself, "Well, why forgive this person? Why forgive him? The first thing he does is forgive him. So why not heal him? Why not get him walking again?" Well, you know, but you may be thinking it too, that, well, at least nowadays we're not like that, that we look at someone's appearances and judge them. But are we not like that anymore nowadays? Whether it be color of skin, nationality, or even the way they dress. Jesus saw the faith in this cripple and his friends. We must have faith in God. Without it, we cannot do anything. But with faith, we have the power that we can move mountains. Jesus saw the faith in this man and says, friend, your sins are forgiven. And why he wasn't first healed, well, that just goes to show Jesus knows our needs better than we know our needs ourselves. And without forgiveness, we cannot stand before God and be saved. So this is why forgiveness is so important to us as Christians. The crowd were more than likely saying to themselves, he needs healing, not forgiveness. But Jesus just knows us way better. I can't stress that enough, that we think we know what we need most, but we really don't. But remember the Pharisees that came out to disprove the Jesus. We can't forget about them. Like it says in Luke 5:21, the Pharisees and teachers of the law were talking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? I can see them now thinking, I got you, ha ha ha, right where I want you. Can't backtrack out of this one. Jesus goes on to say in Luke 5:22-24, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? But I want you to know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he says to the paralytic man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up and took his mat and goes home. Can you picture this miracle? A cripple sitting there after Jesus saying, get up. He just gets up. Like, what a miracle. What a shock that would be to all of us. Just to see that. Could you imagine how shocked the Pharisees would have been to see this? Here they're hoping to disprove Jesus. They don't want to go back with a success story. They want to go back with a report saying, yes, this guy is a false teacher from what I understand of this. So hoping to disprove Jesus. Now, in all honesty, and with what the people seen there, if they're to be truthful, they cannot disprove him because he just healed a cripple. How do you disprove something like that? Everyone said that they have seen remarkable things today. So today, I ask you, are you going to be like the crowd, hindering and just getting in the way? Or are you going to be like Jesus, be like the crippled's friends, finding and making paths to Jesus? How does this story play a part in our lives today? The mat can represent anything that holds us down. Be it sickness, financial, work, different things for every one of us here today. So what do we need to do? We need to bring it to Jesus' feet like the cripple did. First ask God for forgiveness. then ask God to do something with it. So we may walk once more. I ask you all now to think of what is your mat? What is holding you down? And I'll pray with you here. We'll all pray together and we'll bring our mats before God together. Father, we come before you because we all need your forgiveness in our lives today. You taught us that forgiveness is one of the most important things. So we ask you for your forgiveness for all the wrongs we have done. We also take our mats to you and lay them down at your feet. And we ask you to do your will with them so that we too, like the crippled, may be able to get up and walk once more. Pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Now I challenge you all, be like the crippled's friends. Go forth, find paths, make paths to Jesus so others may find him as well.